Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. It's an honor to share God's word with you today. Our prayer is that you will connect with Jesus Christ as you hear his word online. We'd love to have you visit one of our upcoming gatherings. For more information, visit us online at www.liferva.org or contact our church offices and we'll be happy to help you in any way that we can. Let's go now to one of our recent services where you can experience a life-giving message from God's word.
Well, hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to week number 3 of our Life at Home series. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship today. I hope this message finds you and your family doing well. We continue to pray for God's best for you during this time. It was so good seeing so many of you yesterday during our drive-through prayer. I am so glad that we got to pray with you. I hope you enjoyed the free Chick-fil-A lunch. Hope you enjoyed the free brownies. Thank you also for every donation of food and groceries and gift cards to allow us to continue to offer additional help to those who are in need, those who are laid off from work right now. And you know, one thing I love about our church, I love how we're all pulling together as a church family. Let me just give you a couple of quick announcements before I jump into the word of the Lord today. We are, Stephen and Jasmine already mentioned it to you, but we're excited that we are beginning to start sign-ups for our summer life groups, our semester next Sunday, Mother's Day, May 10th. You'll be able to start signing up online. And we're going to be launching our summer semester of life groups 2 weeks later on May the 24th. Now, this summer semester is going to be for 8 weeks. And hopefully these groups, most of which are online, can finish up with in-person meetings. We're going to be offering all kinds of groups. There's Bible study groups. We're going to offer the Conqueror Series this semester. It's a group for men who want to win the battle or protect themselves from becoming victims of the trap of pornography. We're going to have some prayer groups, some men's groups, women's groups, student groups, a lot of different options. So please make sure that you take part in our summer life groups. Many of the groups that just ended continued to meet online, and so we're excited about this coming semester. By the way, if you're interested in leading an 8-week summer small group, just contact us here at the church office in the next few days because it's still not too late, and we'll talk to you about your group idea. And also, another announcement, I want to let you know we are well underway in our work to get our auditorium upgraded so that we can provide online streaming of our church services going forward. We took a huge step of faith just recently. We're installing 50 feet of lighting truss, some additional platform lighting, 4 cameras, a totally revamped media booth that is under construction right now. And you might say, well, why are we doing this? Because many people are watching our services online now, and we don't want to be able to continue to provide this, which really is a great commission opportunity, and we want to also expand on it going forward. This project comes with a price tag of about $90,000, so we need your help to make this happen. Please pray about what we can all do together to help us with this ministry and expand our great commission capacity and ability. You can give online at any time to support this endeavor. So today, let's jump right in to our third message in our Life at Home series. It's been fun so far. In week 1, we talked about what life at home looks like during COVID-19. Last week, I talked to you about 6 foundational elements needed to build a strong foundation and a strong home. This week, let's continue to talk about what life at home should look like. Join me in the Bible, Romans chapter 12, verse 4. If you don't have your Bibles handy, you can look at the verse on the screen. And reading from verse 4, it says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others." I also want to read Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, "Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too." Don't just look out for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. So today I want to speak on this third message in our Life at Home series on this subject. Quarantine is not the answer. Quarantine is not the answer. Now, my sermon today is not a political statement. And it's not even a challenge to the COVID-19 guidelines that we're currently dealing with. I know it might sound like the exact opposite of how we're currently living, but I want you to keep listening here today. Right now, during these unique and unprecedented times that we're in, we're hearing a lot of terms and a lot of directives that are new to us, right? Things like self-quarantine, social distancing, shelter in place, essential and non-essential workers. Boy, that's real nice to think you're in a non-essential category. Wearing masks in public. You used to get arrested for that. Now you get arrested if you don't have one. No more handshaking, elbow bumps, curbside testing, phased reopenings. Stay away from crowds. Unless, of course, you're at Kroger or Home Depot, but that's another story. Avoid travel. Use hand sanitizer. Funerals and weddings now are being postponed or even canceled. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like I woke up in a really bad episode of The Twilight Zone and I can't change the channel. Now, if you're not in the medical field, who actually knew what PPE meant? Some of you right now, you still don't know. You need to Google it. 2 months in, we don't know what it is. Stimulus checks, government bailouts, paycheck protection loans, unemployment now at record high levels when just a few weeks ago, it was at record low levels. Gas now is actually under $1 a gallon in some places in the country. All this cheap gas and nowhere to go, right? I know we have to use wisdom and we need to comply as much as is reasonably requested. But you know, it's really sad that churches have had to cancel gatherings and now we're just streaming and gathering online. I'm happy to announce, though, that today, all across our nation, churches are beginning to reopen and beginning to gather based on the guidelines of their state. So it won't be long for us, Life Church. And the truth is, watching church on a screen, it's not the same as sitting next to other people or worshiping with them or touching them or being present and bearing one another's burdens. And by the way, if you think it's the same, I just want to tell you, you're going to the wrong church, you know, or you've not had the right church experience, because it's not the same as being present with other believers. You and I need a place to belong, and we need a place where we can hear God's word, yes, and we can experience the support of a spiritual family. So in these days of COVID, and depending upon where you live or what your personal risk category is, you may actually be in self-quarantine right now. Now, we're still being encouraged to social distance when possible, but isolation is actually being encouraged right now. That's why people are so anxious and unsettled, and some people are starting to get frustrated with how they're being asked to live. You know, for a lot of people, this is not a fridge full of fancy ice cream stocked by your staff, binge watching Netflix or sitting on the couch enjoying paid leave off from work. If you are still working or you're still getting a paycheck, or maybe you live at home with somebody who's paying your bills, you may not even fully appreciate the anxiety of a man or a woman who can't pay their rent right now, who lost their business or lost their job or got laid off or maybe got laid off and they haven't seen an unemployment check yet. There are people that have been laid off for over a month that still have not received an unemployment check. So trust me, this is no walk in the park for everybody that's out there. A lot of anxiety, though, that we're feeling, I want you to understand, it's not just about politics and it's not just about economics. It's also about relational isolation. That's what I want to talk about some today. You might not even recognize it yet, but social distancing and quarantine, although we all recognize it's needed in the short term in some capacity, this social experiment that we're in right now is not the way God designed us to live. Amen. What I want to talk to you about today is really the exact opposite of the advice that we're currently getting from our healthcare professionals and even from some of our politicians. In your normal life, whenever we get back to normal and whatever the new normal is, quarantine is not the answer. And I want to take this one step further. Even in our current COVID life, with the guidelines that we're currently under, hear me. If you are being socially and emotionally distant when you don't have to be, that is not the answer. I want to dive in a little bit deeper on this today. Even in the day of masks and elbow bumps, God promises that if you will do it His way, live your life His way. You'll never again have to struggle with a life full of loneliness and social distancing. If you'll do what God talks about, you'll be able to handle depression and despair and have that replaced with hope and joy. I want to talk to you about the concept today of biblical community, because it's still important even during life at home, because it's important and it's still doable even during COVID-19. You know, as Americans, we idolize our independence, don't we? As a matter of fact, one of our most sacred documents is called the Declaration of Independence. We sing songs about freedom. We watch movies about freedom. We don't like being told what we can and can't do. It's kind of part of the fiber of being a good old American citizen. That's one reason why people are so anxious. We don't like the government telling us when we can work or where we can work or when and how and when or where we can worship. You know, really, the two-edged sword of freedom also has perpetuated the myth that says that the key to happiness is independence. But a lot of times, we don't really understand what independence really means. See, I'm referring to the myth that if I have relational independence or even financial independence or independence in every other area of my life, if I don't let people get too close to me and I can learn to be so totally self-sufficient, then I'm going to be happy because it decreases the chances of getting hurt. See, that's a myth. It's just not true. Quarantine is not the answer. It is not how we were created to live. Now, it might feel safer, but it's not a rewarding and fulfilling way to live your life. God says the key to happiness is not independence, it is interdependence. In other words, we need each other. We belong to each other. We need community in our lives. God wired you and He wired me to go through life not as a solitary individual, but in community. Now, you might feel like, well, I'm very self-sufficient. I don't need other people in my life. Hear me. Don't miss this. The truth is, you absolutely have to have other people in your life if you are going to be all that God wants you to be. I don't want you to miss this. I don't care how successful you are. I don't care how emotionally whole you think you are. If you're doing life by yourself, hear me. You are not achieving what you are capable of achieving. You're not doing what you're capable of doing. You are not even being who God called you to be if you're doing life all by yourself. This is one reason why we are determined to relaunch our small groups, even if we have to do most of them online or through Zoom calls. Can I officially go on the record and be honest with you all right now? I despise Zoom calls. I have one this afternoon. I have two scheduled for tomorrow. But hear me, it's better than life in quarantine. Amen. Amen. I don't want to do online small groups if I'm really telling the truth, but it's better than isolation. It's better than life in quarantine. It's better than being isolated from my brothers and sisters. I don't like looking at a screen and trying to have interaction, but it's better than doing life alone. I don't even enjoy preaching to a camera and hoping that you're watching, hoping that you're feeling what I'm trying to convey. But guess what? It is better than life in quarantine. People say, well, I don't want to do groups online, or I don't want to watch church online. Or people say, well, I don't like technology. Come on now. If you're watching this service right now, it's because of technology. By the way, if you have a phone, or if you drive a car, or if you have the internet, or if you have electricity in your home, guess what? You like technology. Amen. Because thank God for it. See, none of us, though, we can't fulfill God's purpose by ourselves. Quarantine's not the answer. There's no way you can be all God wants you to be and do all God wants you to do by yourself. You got to do it in relationship with other people. We need each other and we belong to each other in the body of Christ. So why isn't quarantine the answer? Why can't I just stay at home and watch church on my laptop and forget that small groups ever exist? Or why can't I just stop volunteering at my church or in my community? Because let me tell you, when this is over, we can't just skip Sundays and watch service online and just go into our cocoon, because our world needs us and our world needs you. And you need everybody else too. Why don't I just stay at home and keep doing what I've been doing the last 6 weeks? Well, first of all, I'm going to give you three reasons why quarantine is not the answer. Are you ready? Number one, quarantine is not the answer because we need others to walk with us. You need somebody to walk through life with you. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. You know, the Bible often compares life to a walk. And the reality is, just as we've heard it so many times, life is a destination. It's not life is not a destination. It's a journey. Life is not just something you get to where you're going. It's about every step that we take along the way. You don't just sit still in life, right? You're not where you used to be. You're not where you're going to be. We're all on a journey. Life is full, I've learned this, life is full of twists and turns and ups and downs and things that we plan for and things we didn't plan for, things that take us totally by surprise. And you don't want to experience that all by yourself. Throughout the New Testament, we're told to walk in wisdom, to walk in love, to walk in light. We're told to walk in obedience, to walk in the Spirit, to walk as Jesus walked. And hear me, one of the key ways that God tells us to walk is don't walk through life alone. Don't walk through life alone. This has nothing to do with whether you're single or married, by the way. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of single adults who are very involved in deep, intimate, meaningful community. And at the same time, I know a lot of married couples that are desperately lonely. Right. Marriage does not solve the issue. Having kids does not solve the issue. Living in community is what solves the issue. You know what our tagline is here at Life Church? Life together. Life together. Now, some of you might say, well, what's wrong with walking alone? I like walking alone. Matter of fact, I prefer it. I can go at my own pace. I can go at my own speed. I don't have to wait for anybody. I like walking by myself. Now, you know, that might be good if you're talking about the literal act of a daily walk or daily exercise. But hear me, that's not good in life. You might like being alone, but you need others to walk with you. Walking through life with other people, it's a lot safer. It's less risky. Have you ever had to walk down a dark street or a long country road by yourself? It can get a little creepy, right? It's safer to walk through life alone. There's an old Zambian proverb that says this, when you run alone, you run fast, but when you run together, you run far. So true. Life is not a 50-yard dash. Life is a marathon. Amen. You want to make it to the end of life. And the only way you're going to make it to the end of life the way God wants you to is by having other people in your life. Have you ever watched when you see a flock of geese flying in that V formation? You know why they do that? Because it creates a backdraft and it makes it easier, and they can all fly farther and longer when they fly together. They support each other. Them traveling together makes it much easier than any of them traveling alone. And the same is true in your life and mine. Hear me, you're going to burn out in life if you go through it without any meaningful, intimate relationships. You need other people to support you. It's just smarter to go through life with some friends. Look at Proverbs 28:26. Those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. In other words, if I'm the only one who's thinking this and nobody else is agreeing with me, if I'm the only one on this path, if I'm the only one doing this, I may be wrong. I'm probably wrong. You might be walking in the wrong direction. And the Bible says if you only trust in yourself, the Bible calls you a fool. If you're walking by yourself through life, you don't have anybody that's going to say, hey, wait a minute, I think we're on the wrong path here. I think we're getting off the straight path. I think we missed a turn back there. You know what the Bible tells us? In a multitude of counselors, there's safety or there's wisdom. One of the things that's so important that you learn when you walk with other people is you learn how to get along with other people. Yes. You know, it's a whole lot easier to walk by yourself because you're not having to slow down. You're not having to speed up. You're not having to stop and look at something you're not interested in. It's a whole lot easier, right? But guess what? You learn to get along with people when you do life with other people. You learn to cooperate. You learn to get along. You show me people who spend all their time by themselves. They are socially dysfunctional. You've got to connect with other people. There's a great lesson in life. When you walk with somebody else, You learn to walk at a different pace because everybody has a different style, different strides, different strokes for different folks, right? You got to learn to compromise. And compromise is not a bad word when it comes to relationships. We all give and bend so that we can learn to love each other and serve one another. The Bible says this in Genesis 2:18. It is not good for man to be alone. Did you know that's the first thing that God said after he created Adam? He looked down at the perfect environment, the Garden of Eden, and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. Now, don't miss this. Check this out. Adam had God. But God looked at Adam and said, I'm not enough. I want you to let that sink in. Adam had God, but God was not enough. God looked at Adam and said, you need somebody like you that can walk with you and can do life alongside you. And God saw it in his infinite wisdom. He made man and then he said, he needs somebody else like him. So what's the anecdote? God created your physical family, but he also created your spiritual family. The physical family is the one you grew up with. It's the one sitting in the living room with you right now. It's the one that the people that you've done life with. But your spiritual family, they're the ones you're going to have the rest of your life and into eternity. Your physical family, they move apart. Somebody dies. Somebody has a divorce. Somebody moves to another state. Your physical family doesn't last forever, right? But the spiritual family is going to go on ahead of you into eternity. So God says, I want you to be connected in my family, the church, the body of Christ, because every believer has something to offer to others. Therefore, we don't walk alone. That's why, hear me, to be a healthy believer, you need to be able to gather together in group worship experiences. We gather. We have small group fellowship and discipleship where we connect. And we also create teams of people that serve together where you can use your gifts and your gifts with others to help other people so we can serve. Quarantine is not the answer. That's why we encourage everybody to come to our weekend services and to be in a small group and to serve on a dream team. And right now, hear me, with us not being able to gather together on weekends, a small group experience is even more important. Connection in a team is even more important than ever. You know what is the worst kind of punishment they can give you in the prison system? Solitary confinement. Think about that. We are made for relationships. God wired us that way. That's why people will join all kinds of crazy clubs and groups and crazy causes. You know why? Because everybody wants to belong. So number one, we need people to walk with us. But number two, we need other people to serve with us. You need others to serve with you. The Bible says God put you on earth to do a certain work that only you can do. Because you were even born, before you were even born, God decided what your talents were, your natural abilities were, that he was going to give you. And anytime you use your talents and your abilities to help somebody else, there's a word for that. It's called ministry. It's called serving. All of us are ministers in that regard. What that means is that you use your gifts and what God wired you to do to help others. And that's what God wants us to do. He says, these are your good works. Let me just give you a real life example from just yesterday. Okay, I want to give a shout out right now to Mary Purcell, a wonderful lady in our church. She is Eddie Wilbur's mom. Last Sunday, right after service, when I announced that we were going to have a drive-through prayer on Saturday, yesterday, Mary heard me make the announcement and she contacted me and she said, Pastor, I want to make homemade brownies to hand out with the Chick-fil-A. Mary's a gifted baker. More importantly, she has the heart of a servant. And you know what she did? She personally baked hundreds of brownies, put them in little single servings, and brought them to the church just to be a blessing to all of us. You know what that is? That's serving. That's using your gifts for the glory of God and to bless other people. That is the very essence of serving others and using your gifts to God's glory. So why don't we all give it up for Mary Purcell right now? Amen. You know what else happened yesterday? Dozens of volunteers were here at the church waving signs, directing traffic, serving food, collecting donations, praying for each other as well in order to make the event a success. Because can I just be honest with you? Yesterday wasn't just about praying. It was about connecting. We could pray for each other at home, but it was a chance for us to connect with one another because quarantine is not the answer, right? I also want to give a shout out to two leaders in our community, Chick-fil-A owner Hal Rice, who owns the Chick-fil-A at Virginia Center Commons and in Ashland, and marketing director Tommy Newman, who ended up donating thousands of dollars worth of Chick-fil-A food to our event yesterday. Isn't that fantastic? They gave it to us. We didn't expect that. You know what? We need other people to serve with us in our community, and they did. Thank you, Mr. Hal. Thank you, Mr. Newman. Thank you, Chick-fil-A. If you ever needed a good reason to go to Chick-fil-A, now you got one. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says this. Two people are better than one. They can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person, look at verse 12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. All you need is two. Three are even better, the Bible says, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You always get more done as a team than you could ever do by yourself. It's also a lot more fun. It's a lot less tiring. Individually, I can't make that big of a difference in the world, but together we make a difference if everybody does their part. Have you ever seen on TV when the Amish community come together and they build a barn together? Man, they do it in a day, and everybody has a part. I mean, they're building buildings, they're cooking food, they're serving. Even the children have a function, and they raise a barn in a day. It's because everybody has a part to play and they come together as a community. Folks, you can't get everything done that you need to do and that God called you to do by yourself. Number one, we need others to walk with us. Number two, we need others to serve with us. And then my last point is number three, quarantine's not the other answer because we need others to have our back. There's probably a more theological way I could have said that. But guess what? You need somebody in your life that's got your back. I'm talking about people who will defend me, who will stand up for me, who will protect me. People who have your six. That's an old military term, by the way. That means somebody that's got you guarded, that is guarding your back. People who will help me stay on track. People who will warn me. Philippians 2 and verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. You know, I'm really proud of the way Life Church folks have been trying to look out for each other during this time. People are trying to help each other and keep an eye on each other. We revived our care ministry back when this whole thing first started. And our care teams have been checking on each other and calling and praying for one another and taking care of one another. We are trying to live Philippians 2, 4. Look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. If you've ever gone on vacation and you were gone for a week or two, you know what? You probably had somebody, a friend or a neighbor, who would keep an eye on things. They would watch out for your house or maybe watch out for your pets. We all want our stuff looked out for, right? But I've got a more important question. Not who is watching out for your stuff. Who's watching out for your soul? Amen. Who's got your back? Is there anybody in your life that is helping you to stay on track spiritually? Is there anybody who loves you enough to say, I'm not going to let you get discouraged. I'm not going to just let you drop out and quit. I'm not going to just let you get tired. I'm here with you. Let me support you. I'm not going to let you go back down that rabbit hole. I'm not going to let you get in that funky place again where you used to be. I'm not going to let you go there because I love you and I care for you. And they encourage you in your spiritual life. Because hear me, if you don't have somebody like that, you need somebody like that. You know why? We all have blind spots, right? We all have blind spots. Things we can't see. You get a taillight out in your car, guess what? You're not going to ever know about it until somebody tells you. Somebody's got to say, hey, you got a taillight out. Hopefully somebody will tell you when you got broccoli stuck in your teeth, right? Hopefully somebody will tell you when your fly is unzipped. Hold on. Fly check. Yeah, I'm good. You need somebody to have your back and watch out for you in life. We got to watch out for each other because, guys, there's some stuff we just don't see about ourselves. Hebrews 13:1 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. We got to care about each other. We're family. We're in God's family. As brothers and sisters, I should defend you. You should defend me. And I help you stay on track, and you help me stay on track. It says, keep on loving one another. You know what that means? Not just once. That means you don't get mad or ticked off or offended and say, I'm done with those people. You just keep on loving them. We have to be vigilant and intentional about life together. When Satan attacks you, you know what? He doesn't come around in a little red costume with a pitchfork and jump out from behind something and say, boo. No. You know what he does? He attacks you at your point of weakness. Habits that you can't break. Hurts that you won't let go of. Hang-ups that keep you struggling, amen. Problems and circumstances, relationships that break your heart and hurt you. He always works, hear me, he always works around and through other people. You will live in defeat if you try to defeat and fight the enemy on your own. You're never going to win against the devil all by yourself. You need other people who will watch out for you and help you. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know what that is? That's a small group. That's a dream team. That's a care team. He says, watch out for each other. Is there anybody watching out for you? And are you watching out for anybody else? Come on, Pastor. Do you remember that story? Few years back, three, four, five, I don't know how many years ago it was, about that guy, he was an experienced rock climber, and he slipped and he fell in a ravine. Remember, he fell down and he got stuck in between those rocks, his arm got caught, and he would have died, except he had to cut his own arm off to get out. And the only way he broke free was to do that, or he was going to die right there. You know what? The mistake that he made was not by slipping and falling. The mistake he made was going climbing by himself. Don't miss that. The mistake he made wasn't falling down. Everybody falls. Everybody slips. The mistake he made was going on that journey all by himself and not having a partner. Because I don't care, even if you're a professional, you need a buddy. And guess what? That includes you spiritual professionals too. Amen. You need somebody in your life. And community is God's answer. All of our groups, all of our teams at Life Church, they're based on the principle of Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one. It's not complicated, folks. Two are better than one. I have never yet met one person who doesn't have something in their life that they'd like to change, but they have not been able to change. Hear me. You're not going to change it on your own, because if you can, you would have already done it. Amen? So you need other people in your life. Some problems in our life only get solved by tackling them with someone else. Life at home is not intended to be lived out all by ourselves. Quarantine's not the answer. I need people with me for the inevitable crises that's going to come when tragedy hits. I don't want to face it by myself. You need a safety net, a network of supportive friends. Get it in place now, because one day, when tragedy comes, you don't want to build your support team then. You want to already have them. You want to know what God's safety net is for us? Other believers. Other people that will do this journey with us. You don't need 100. You don't need 25. You just need 3, 4, 5, 6, a small group of people that have your back and that want to do life with you. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. Community is God's answer. Romans 12 and 5 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We do that in a group. Somebody has a promotion or a celebration, a graduation, we party. We have a good time. We have fun. Somebody going through a tough time, we cry with them. We pray with them. We come together and try to help. Just be there. It's the ministry of presence. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11 says this, encourage each other and strengthen one another. You know, we try to make Christianity so complicated. Let's love one another and come alongside each other. That's what I want Life Church to be known for. You know what impresses people that are impressed with our church? It's not the size of our church. There's churches that are way bigger. It's not the beauty of our facilities. There's a lot of buildings way prettier than what we have. They're not impressed by our buildings, our sermons, our music. All of those are good, but that's not what impresses people. What impacts people is this is a place where people get loved. Amen. This has to be a place where it's okay for a guy to stand up and say, you know what, I've got an addiction, and he is loved and not judged. Amen? Amen? This has to be a place where people can say, I messed up, but they are picked up and they are loved. This has to be a place where you're not perfect, but you're loved, and that's okay. That's what I want us to be known for. I want us to be a place where we really do live life together. I want to ask the praise team to come back up and join me right now. We need each other. You need your brothers and sisters. You need people in your care team. You need the people in your small group. And you can sign up for groups starting next week. If you're in a group already, it's time that we stop letting it just be a meeting. But let's start doing life together with other people. Care for them. Love them. Share. Stay connected. We all need each other. For those of you who maybe you're not where you need to be personally with the Lord, I want you to know today is the day that you can take those next steps. Man, you're really doing life by yourself if you don't have God on your side. And to be spiritually committed, you need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord of your life and repent of your sins. Be baptized in water to remove those sins once and for all and identify with the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, which is what brings us newness of life. Quarantine is not the answer for your life. Don't isolate yourself. Get connected now more than ever before. Can I just say this right now? I feel impressed to tell somebody this. Some of you, you haven't been going to church for a long, long time. Maybe you're not even connected to a church. You know what? When this stuff is all over, you need to find a church, a body of believers that you can connect with. Are churches perfect? No, of course not. Do churches have issues? Of course they do, because churches are full of people just like you and people like me. Your mission is not to find a perfect church. Your mission is to find believers that can do life with you. Quarantine is not the answer. So I want to challenge you to make a decision and say, you know what? When this is over, I'm going to make some changes in my life, and I'm going to become an active part of the body of Christ, because I don't want to do life all by myself. Don't isolate yourself. Get connected now more than ever before. Quit hiding behind your excuses. Say, I want to be a part of the body of Christ, and I want to join together with other believers. We need to make a commitment today to join in biblical community. You might say, man, Pastor, you're doing this at a time where we're supposed to be at home alone. No. You need to make a commitment to join with other believers and say, I'm not going to do life alone. Call your care team leader and ask them, say, hey, what can I do for somebody in our team? Call your small group leader and say, hey, who in our group needs a meal or a bag of groceries? Call your church and say, hey, what can I do to reach out into the community? Or just pick up your phone and call your family members and your friends yourself and say, hey, what do you need? What can I do to make your life better? Amen? That's what God is calling us to do. Quarantine's not the answer. Isolation is not the answer. We need our brothers and sisters. I want us to pray right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I believe that you're speaking to people right now. People that have been doing life alone. They might be going to church, but they're still doing life alone. They might be even on a team, but all they do is serve and they never connect outside of church. God, we don't want to do life all by ourselves. Quarantine is not the answer. Isolation is not the answer. Doing life alone is not the answer. God, I pray right now that you would challenge us to break out of our shells and break out of our isolation and break out of our independence and go into our community and go into our church and go into our neighborhoods and reach out to people. God, encourage us to do more than we've ever done before. Help us to bring the body of Christ together as families and friends and really do life together as a team of people that you've called us to be. God, I praise you today and I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Let's worship again together with our team right now. Amen. The Lord.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Yes, God. I don't want to do life by myself. Thank you, Jesus.
Face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, yes.
Upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. His presence go before you and beside you and beside you,
all around you and within you.
Yes, Father. Join us together as the body of Christ. Bring us together. Help us not to isolate from our brothers and sisters.
And rejoicing, he is for you. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you.
Yes, he is. Over them as they watch over me, God. We thank you for this today, and we give you praise and honor. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26 says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." And that is our prayer today. I pray that you'll understand you are not alone. You don't have to be alone. Don't live life by yourself. Ask the Lord to come into your life, and then after you do that, ask Him to align you with people like Lisa and Eddie and Jasmine and Jordan, whoever it might be in your circle. Hear me. God did not want you to do life by yourself. Amen. We love you. We are praying for you. I pray you have an amazing week, and I can't wait to see you again very, very soon. And if I don't see you before then, I'll see you right back here again next week. God bless you. May the peace of the Lord go with you. That is our prayer.
Yes,
have a
yes.
wonderful week. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.